You know, I suppose all of us engage in a little hand-wringing about the future of our country. You look at it and you say, you know, man, if we keep going down this path that ignores God and flaunts rebellion and mocks righteousness, what's it going to be like for our kids? What's it going to be like for our grandkids when they become adults? Will God turn his back on us? Well, he has down through history turned his back on his people when they become unrighteous. But you know something? These questions, although they're almost unavoidable, do little good. Matter of fact, they do no good. What Jesus had to say about anxiety, I think, implies here, worrying about the future accomplishes nothing. But, thankfully, there is something we can do. And Jesus refers to it in Matthew 5 and verse number 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, in our day and time, with the just marvels that we have in preserving foods today, salt is almost exclusively thought of as a flavoring. What it adds to our meals and what it adds to our doctors' frustrations when they can't get us to control the amount that we're supposed to eat. But in Jesus' world, and that's where we've got to try to get our heads into his world, the most basic function of salt was to preserve food. It wasn't to add flavor. And that seems to fit the context of this passage much better. Jesus is calling on us, you and me, to slow down the decay, slow down the corruption of the world around us. Now, I can't do anything about what's going on across town. I can't do anything across the state or in other countries. But I can do something about what's right around me. Abraham one time had just an absolutely fascinating discussion with God. Read about it in Genesis 18, starting with verse 16. And it was about how many righteous people it would take to save Sodom. Will you spare the city if it has 50 righteous souls living there? Abraham asked him. God said yes. 45? Again, God says yes. And then Abraham says 40? 30? 20? 10? Finally, God says his destruction would be withheld if only this little handful of 10 people who were righteous could be found. I've often thought that God has blessed America just almost beyond our imagination. And I believe truly that we're honored that way, because we as a nation in the past have honored him in many ways. We've protected religious freedoms. We've maintained reasonably conservative morals. Our leaders have listened to Christian voices. And we've preserved many aspects of the Judeo-Christian ethic. I know they tell us that our founding fathers were non-believers and theists and all of this. But if you go back and read their writings, you'll see. Read them for yourself. Do you suppose there's a connection between these facts of what we've done in the past and our country's prosperity? I do. I think a very strong argument could be made that those things are changing. We are no longer, as a nation, as leaders, and I'm not talking politics here, Democrat, Republican, I'm talking the whole spectrum. Recent trends seem to reflect an increasing secular, anti-God mindset among our people. But even that, I'm telling you tonight, and I think it's important that we keep in mind, it does no good to wring our hands and cry about the loss of our country's Christian foundation. Jesus tells us what to do. He said, you be the salt. You be the salt. You put salt on a piece of meat and it'll help preserve it, but it's not going to preserve your neighbor's meat. It preserves what you put the salt on. Now, none of us have any idea how long God's going to spare this nation. But what we must do as God's people is follow Jesus and model him to the people around us. We need to sanctify him in our homes. We need to set him apart in our homes. We need to teach our children, our grandchildren, to love him more than anything in the world. And we need to adore him, to worship him, and to serve him. And set that example before the world. Folks, it was a tragedy that not even 10 righteous souls could be found in Sodom. And God destroyed that city. What about us? Is there enough righteousness in this country for God to keep his protective arms about us? I pray that it is. But that's his decision. But regardless of that, he's challenged us to be a righteous soul. To be the preservative in our sphere of influence. He says for us to be the salt. And that's a solemn charge. That's as much a command as to repent and be baptized. We are to be the salt in our families. We're to be the salt in our neighborhoods. We're to be the salt at our workplace. We're to be the salt of everyone we can influence. The preserving power. So that's the question for tonight. Have you been? Does God look down from heaven and say, boy, now there's some salt right there. There's that one. And would he be pointing at you? Do you remember what Jesus said about the salt that's lost its flavor? He says it's good for nothing but to be cast out and put underfoot. Do you know what he's saying there? The salt that gets wet and loses its saltiness, I'll use that word, was taken and put in the pathways. And the weeds would grow there. It was fit for nothing but a pathway, something to be walked upon. We cannot, must not be a pathway. Useless and worthless as salt. Are you the salt of those about you? If not, you need to repent. You need to respond. You need to do it tonight.